Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And I am thrilled to be back with you this week. I just want to remind you, by the way, that you can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, or you can write to me at Lori@TantraCafe.com. And by the way, today's show is being brought to you by Silk, S-Y-L-K, a personal lubricant that enhances your pH on the inside. So today my question for everybody is, why would somebody go from having a cushy corporate job to becoming a sensual healer, a sensual sexual healer? My guest today calls herself a sex and consciousness consultant, and she offers men, women, and couples teachings that are meant to inspire sexual wholeness and erotic freedom. And she focuses on empowering people to catalyze their own life force energy to manifest a life they hadn't previously dared to dream possible. So we're going to find out from her what that means, because she comes from the corporate world. She was in the world of banking. She had high positions, and she prefers to heal people this way. My guest's name today is Leila Sullivan. Hi, Leila.
Hi, Laurie. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And Leila's here with me in my home studio, so it's wonderful to have her. Usually, you know, my guests are somewhere else, but today she's here with me. So let's find out. You have done exactly what I said. You have gone from being a corporate executive. What did you do in the corporate world? It was banking, yeah?
Yes, I was in banking for close to 20 years. And the last job that I officially held in banking was as chief financial officer. It was a small community bank, a commercial bank in Baltimore, where I'm originally from.
And so you left there, and did you just jump? Like, what inspired you to become a sex and consciousness consultant? Did you jump right into that? Did you have, like, an aha moment, or was it a sort of path?
It was definitely more of a path. The job right before the CFO position was one that when I was thinking, I'd been in it for several years, and it was a controller for a credit union. And when I was thinking about leaving it, I was considering a massage career, because I really felt like I was wanting to do much more in the healing arts and really get away from corporate. And then I ended up taking the CFO position, which I originally turned down, and then I decided that I would be crazy to turn it down, and that I should, you know, be a good way to end that world, to be, you know, in the top position in my field first. And so I did that for a few years, and I had gotten back into yoga, and, you know, yoga was something that really I did a lot as a child, and I had had some health issues and had had a hysterectomy, and when I had taken time off to recover from that, it was the first time I'd taken time off in my adult life, and, you know, and I really started looking at, well, what is it that I used to do to help myself feel better? And I always turned to yoga, except I called it stretching at the time. I never really thought of it as yoga.
I
just knew I stretched all the time. Yeah. You know, it would be to Aerosmith and Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd or something, but I was always in my room stretching.
But I have to go back and ask you a question. When you were at the top of your game in the banking industry, can you give us a ballpark figure of, like, what your income was then, like, that you would walk away from? Because a lot of people will be going, like, ah!
It was a little shy of a six-figure income.
Okay.
And it was also, you know, back in, what was it? It was 2001 when I left.
Okay. So listen, a little shy of a six-figure income in today's economy.
Right.
Some people would like to be that shy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. All right, so you got back into yoga and stretching, things that healed
yeah.
you.
And so there was this day that I was, you know, I had, with the cushy job, I also was, you know, going to the gym, and, you know, I'd show up in my little power suit, and I was very aware of things like when I was in the locker room and going to change into my yoga outfit, I felt like I was going to crawl through the floor and die if somebody actually walked in the room and saw me changing clothes. I had such issues with my body. And I had so many things, like my personal healing journey in terms of my own sexuality, my entire adult life. And there just came this day where I realized that there was something fundamentally wrong with that. That there was, you know, I should be totally comfortable in my body. And it was just, you know, women changing in a locker room, and there was something not normal about this. And so
I bet you that there are so many women out there. I mean, I'm willing to wager you, I'd wager $1 million, that there are so many women out there who have that very same issue,
mm-hmm.
that they hate their bodies. They're loathing. They're mm-hmm. self-loathing. how they feel and look about themselves.
Yeah. Of course, now you can't get me to keep my clothes on. But that's a whole other story. I was a very different person. Not that long ago, you know, 9, 10 years ago. I had this incident happen one day where I sprained my ankle. And I was reflecting on how it felt like every time I started to really get some momentum in terms of physical health and really, embracing something that I got sabotaged. I sabotaged myself in some way. So the latest was I tripped and sprained my ankle. And so as I was sitting there, I wasn't feeling sorry for myself. I was really more reflecting on how far I'd come already at that point, even though I was still in banking and I was just doing yoga part time. And I had just bought my first Yoga Journal magazine, like a week before, and it had just been sitting on the coffee table. And so I've been reflecting on all these things that I had gained in, and learned in terms of body awareness and I thought to myself, wow, wouldn't it be really amazing if there was something like this for kids? That, like, if I had learned these things about my body and had been more consciously aware of the fact that I was doing yoga and all when I was a kid, I wonder how different my life would have been, because I was very aware of some real differences in the right side and the left side of my body from ice skating and, like the one side that would flow and the other side that was always a little stuck, And with that, I decided to go turn on my music or something in my living room, and without even thinking of it, I picked up my yoga journal, opened it up, and went straight to an ad that was the Yoga Kids certification. And I looked at that, and I'm getting goosebumps. I always get goosebumps when I tell the story. And I thought, oh, well, there it is. There is a program. I guess I'm supposed to do that. So I went to the first level training. It was outside of Chicago with Marsha Winnick. And I thought, well, I don't really know that much about yoga. I don't really know that much about children. If I'm going to do this, I'm really going to have to leave the bank and devote myself full time to this, because, decide you want to be a yoga teacher for children when you don't have a background in either is a little...
But it was inspired. What you're talking about was an inspiration that came right out of you. Wow, if this could happen to me, if I could get... Yoga could help me. It could help in all these people younger.
Right. And the fact that, I was just thinking this in my head, and then without even thinking...
The book opened.
I opened up the magazine and right to the ad. I felt like it was this divine intervention. You're supposed to do this. So the next thing I knew, within a few months of taking the first level, I resigned from the bank to become a yoga teacher for children. And it's kind of evolved from that.
Well, tell us a little bit more about that just for a minute, because probably it's a very new concept to a lot of people that children could actually take yoga and start to feel really good. See, this is so connected to Tantra anyway.
Absolutely.
Because if children would feel good about their bodies and wouldn't have all these body issues and sexual hang-ups, and they'd grow up to be healthy, well-adjusted adults. Well, we'd be out of a job, probably, but...
That's okay. We'd come up with some other thing we'd want to do.
Right.
And I'd be a dancer or something.
So how long were you in this children's thing? How long was the training? How long did you stay with that?
The training was a few hundred hours. It was a lot of home study and then gathering a few times with Marsha to complete the training.
What's her name again?
Marsha Winnick.
Yoga Kids. Yeah. Okay.
And it was a full year, actually, that program, to do the whole program was a full year. And so along the way, I ended up becoming a yoga teacher for adults and children and doing yoga therapy with special needs children. One of the assignments that we had in the Yoga Kids program had to do with, just donating half hour of your time and work with a special needs child. And I was like, are you kidding? Who's going to let me hear their time? I just felt so overwhelmed with that.
Yeah.
And so I had heard about this other woman, and a lot of people that had done the Yoga Kids program had also studied with this other woman, which is Sonia Sumar, and her program is Yoga for the Special Child. So I decided that I was going to read her book, and that maybe after I read her book, I would feel comfortable doing this half-hour assignment that related to my Yoga Kids certification. And the first thing I did when I opened the book is she started talking about, basically I would be playing with baby's feet. Because it was about, working with very young infants when they're first diagnosed with, whether it be Down syndrome or cerebral palsy or whatever. And that, very early on that you could start working with them. And one of the things you would be doing would be working with their feet and massaging and doing different things to stretch the feet. So I was like, okay, so I could earn a living playing with baby's feet. Oh my God. This is so cool. And so, by the time I finished the book, I knew I needed to study with this woman as well. And she turned out to be my spiritual mother. I think of her as my spiritual mother. And, her guru was, Swami Satchidananda, who, is the Swami
Integral yoga. He brought yoga to the United States.
And he opened up Woodstock, which is one of the things I love to share about him, because he said the prayer at Woodstock. And so, I had options for the first level training with her to take it lots of different places. Well, the only place that she offered it as a residential was at Satchidananda's ashram in Yogaville. And I thought, well, I think I'd like to have an ashram experience. I have no idea what that'll be like. And so I think I'll do that there rather than go be in some hotel in New York for it. And so I arrived on Sunday and Tuesday, as the first child was being brought in for us to work with, it was September 11th. And that happened.
That day, wow.
And so the couple that was bringing their child in to work with us was how we found out that had just happened.
9/11.
And I thought
we're going to have to stop here.
Okay, sure.
So we'll be right back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. This is my favorite thing to do. Mm-hmm. And my guest today is Leela Sullivan, who went from a corporate position, a pretty high-ranking officer in banking, to her spiritual transition. She's now has been telling us about working yoga with children, and soon she's going to tell us how she got into inspiring people for sexual wholeness and erotic freedom. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wished for an end to pests in and around your home, around your office? Stop paying for dangerous chemicals that can harm your children, your pets, and your clients. Today in Arizona and Florida, an environmentally responsible pest control company named Ladybug has set up shop to provide natural and organic pest control services. Ladybug can help you stop even the most persistent, nastiest bugs with green, organic products that are friendly to people and pets. In addition, there are franchise opportunities in Arizona, Florida, and throughout the USA. To learn more about Ladybug's home-friendly and earth-smart green pest control services, visit the Ladybug website at ladybugcorp.com or call us at 561-276-7600. Ladybug guarantees you another eco-friendly, pest-free day, naturally.
Wondering what book you should read to jumpstart your sex life and increase your happiness? Try my book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by me, Laurie Handlers. This short, easy-to-read book will make you laugh at yourself, and it may possibly make you cry as you discover my tantric secrets for happiness and how they apply to you. In the book, I begin with the 10th law, make love in the unknown, and then I work you all the way through laws 1 through 9 to teach you how to be in the unknown, fresh, every moment of every day of your life. Sex and Happiness puts the innocence and love back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. It's only $19.99 in paperback and $14.99 ebook. Go to sexandhappiness.com to order your copy of Sex and Happiness by me, Laurie Handlers, the host of Tantra Cafe.
I'm back. This is Laurie Handlers. You're with us on Tantra Cafe. And my guest today is Leela Sullivan, and she was just telling us how she started. She was studying yoga for children, and she was figuring out how to make a living after coming from a cushy corporate job. And she was talking about how she went to Yogaville near Charlottesville, Virginia, with Swami Satchidananda. And what happened then? What happened on your second, or it was Tuesday, or whatever?
So I met him we weren't supposed to meet him until Saturday. There was going to be a stop sign with him on Saturday. And then, of course, because of September 11th happening, there was a special stop sign that evening. So we met with him.
Well, what stop sign?
A gathering where people have an opportunity to ask questions, and he answers questions and just has a conversation about, or discussion on what
So any
topics.
Master. Any master. People would sit with the master and ask questions, and the master would answer back. Okay, great.
So we had everyone, because he also had a location in Manhattan that was very close to Ground Zero. And so they were on speakerphone, and so a lot of it was they were asking questions and looking for guidance and help and support.
Right, sure.
And we were there, as well. And so All I know is that that evening when I heard him speak, it was the first, you know, I had had this whole world inside my head that I didn't share with most people in terms of my belief systems and how I view the world, and which was very different from what I would experience in corporate America. And that day, I thought of all the places I could be in the world. Here I am here, and I'm listening to somebody who actually thinks like I do.
Wow. And that's got to be an epiphany.
It was. I felt like I finally found family in a way, that there was like, wow, I'm not the only one out there that thinks like this. This is really cool. And then the next day I was asked if I wanted a spiritual name from him, because my name was not Lisa originally. Sullivan is my my maiden name, but my name was originally Lisa. And so I was asked if I wanted a spiritual name, and I was like, well, I don't really know what I would do with it, but it seems like I should be saying yes to this. I mean, this is a pretty auspicious timing in terms of my being here. So I said yes, and I was told that my name is Lila, that I was to spell it L-E-E-L-A, that it meant divine play, and to play my part well. And I'm like, okay, I have no idea what that means, but I guess I'll be finding out.
What a great name to give you.
Yeah. And I have really come to embody it quite a bit. And I legally changed it to my name about 5 years ago.
Wow. So see, bridge for us. So you, how long did you do the children yoga thing before you, and what shifted you then into like sex education?
So between 2001 and 2004, I was teaching yoga to adults and children privately and in groups.
In Baltimore.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I also had a part-time accountant. I never really completely got away from accounting until 2009. And then even then, it still shows up every once in a while. It's a good thing to fall back on. Yeah. It's a nice skill to have to fall back on. But I totally lost track for a second.
It's okay. So you, between...
Oh, so 2001, 2004, I was teaching a lot of yoga classes. I was I had a part-time accounting position as a manager for a private club. And I was the primary caregiver for my mom, who had been very ill for a long time. And then in 2004, I left my marriage, and I was staying at friends and figuring out what I was going to do, because I really felt like, you know, things were really coming to completion with my mother. I knew that wouldn't be much longer. And I'd spent my entire life in Baltimore, and I just couldn't really see doing that. So it was a matter of figuring out where I was going to go. So I ended up in Ojai, California. And I really was focusing a lot on my sexual healing, because you know, the challenges that I had sexually throughout my whole adult life really had a lot to do with the challenges in my marriage. You know, it was money and sex.
So tell me a little bit about those, though, if you could be specific about those sexual challenges, because people want to know that. They want to know that they are normal, and they want to know, people want to know that there's a way that they can get better. They want to know that what they experience is really normal, given the culture. So what were some of your normal sexual challenges?
Well, you know, I don't know if they're really normal sexual challenges or extreme sexual challenges.
Oh, okay.
We'll find out.
I'll say that they're normal. I don't even know what you're going to say yet.
Yeah.
And given where I sit as a Tantra master, I'm going to say that they're normal.
Wow. Not too often I hear that word associated with myself.
That's true. Me neither. Can you give an idea of what some of the challenges were?
I actually experienced extreme pain upon penetration almost all the time. And I had actually reached a point where I had somehow figured it, because a lot of it was all I've always been intuitively gifted. So somewhere along the way I realized that if I could get myself into a state of orgasm, that it wouldn't hurt. So I would get myself into that state, but I didn't really know how to work with the energy, so it was in a very depleting way, and I was sending the energy out of my body. And then I would reach this point where I just couldn't orgasm anymore, and then immediately it would be excruciating. I mean, it felt like razor blades.
Razor blades inside
you. Yeah, it was pretty intense. And that pretty much my whole adult life, that was the experience. I've just actually written
Why would anyone have sex? If I had razor blades, and I'm going to still say it's normal, by the way.
Yeah.
I think there's probably
a
gazillion people out there who have so much pain inside themselves, in their vaginas. So why would you even have sex? What motivated you to have sex if you knew it was so painful?
Well, Well, you know, I enjoyed intimate connection when I was in a state of orgasm. I was multi-orgasmic and in extreme pain at the same time. It was a really strange experience. It's like, so, you know, my whole thing is if I could just focus on the feeling good part, you know, and then just pretend the other part wasn't there. but that was really challenging because with the, you know, the job that I had and the hours I worked and, you know, like all of that. And you know, and I didn't have the happiest, strongest of marriages. So it was really hard on him, you know, the whole, cause it was very hard for him to, you know, how does someone, make love to their wife knowing of causing her pain when they love her.
Exactly.
You know? And so it was a real head trip for both of us.
Yeah.
It was a very difficult
Are there anything else? Were there other sexual, they're almost like sexual side effects. Was there anything else that?
I truly believe my endometriosis and my hysterectomy were completely related to all of this.
Okay.
So I just recently, there's a book coming out at the end of this month that's called, Heart of the Flower, the Book of Yonis. And it's a compilation of 50 different women, and there's photographs of their yoni and photographs
yoni
of flowers.
In case someone doesn't know, yoni is the Sanskrit word for vagina.
Yes.
And it actually means sacred womb or sacred cave.
Yes.
So there are photographs in this book, the Book of Sacred Yoni.
So I've gone from like not being able to take off my clothes in the locker room to, yes, my yoni is going to be in this book. And so there's 3 pictures of it, of her. And there's a picture of a flower that was chosen to be in alignment with her. And we were all asked to write our own story about our relationship with our yoni. So there's a very kind of brief synopsis of this whole thing that is appearing in that book, which I'm really excited about. Because I'm hoping it will really inspire other women to recognize what's possible. Because, you know, the challenges I have, I was very sexually active as a teenager.
Uh-huh.
And the problems started happening fairly, not at the beginning, I had a couple of years of amazing sexual experiences as a teenager. And then I had some specific experiences that happened that I could tell you the moment, the date, the time that everything changed. Didn't really know why, but I knew when. And so I spent many, you know, most of my adult life, really trying to get back to that place of what I knew was possible. Cause I had experienced it, so I knew it was possible. I had to figure out how to get back to there. So, you know, once I left my husband and started on my own journey, I was doing a lot of different things to really work with. I mean, because I was studying Ayurvedic medicine. I used to offer Panchakarma and different Ayurvedic practices for greater health and restoration. And so I was studying with Vasant Ladd, and I talked to Dr. Ladd about the challenges I had because I was so contracted and sore inside. And I thought, well, maybe there's something here that can help to heal the inside of my...
I just want to acknowledge you and like that you went outside the box towards the Eastern segment, that you didn't go for traditional medicine or start getting medicated, like heavy Prozac or whatever, so that you could have... Maybe you did.
No.
You didn't go to any of those antidepressants
to
get yourself stoned out.
No.
To deal with the situation and the braveness of leaving the husband. I mean, because a lot of women in your situation wouldn't leave a man who at least gets it, like how to strike out when you have all this pain and how are you ever going to have sex again with a different lover.
Well, you know, I felt that considering I'd already had a hysterectomy and I wasn't really healing this aspect within the marriage, I really felt that I would end up with some form of cancer
if I
would die. That it was literally a matter of life and death. I mean, that was, I don't want to sound melodramatic, but, and at the same time, you know, that was the intuitive hit that I had, is that if I don't address this, you know, it's going to mean my life.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I'm talking here with Leela Sullivan, and it's a very interesting interview here because she really started out in corporate America. She moved herself into a yoga teacher for young people and even infants who were special needs infants, and then moved over to her own sexual healing and now is working with other people. It's quite a saga, and we're going to hear more about how she actually works with adults now, with women, men, and couples to help them reach sexual wholeness and erotic freedom. So please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Have you ever wanted something really different from a plain old Swedish massage? If you want an extraordinary private bodywork session, call Krishna Naidu. Krishna definitely has the touch. He offers yoga fusion therapy, embodiment therapy, individual tantra sessions, and even private yoga classes. I hope this intrigues you. His work is subtle yet tremendously effective, and I know his clients keep coming back for more because I'm one of them. For more information about the sessions and to find a session near you, call Krishna Naidu at 857-891-8090. That's 857-891-8090. Call Krishna Naidu today.
Sessions are regularly available in New York, Boston, Washington, D.C., Phoenix, and Scottsdale.
Have you tried lubrications during sex only to find out that your partner feels that they feel so artificial, or that one of you, either your partner or you, has gotten some kind of an irritation? Well, today I'm talking to Shayna Venice, who is the founder of New Zealand Pure, which is a unique product line for sexual wellness. And she's going to be discussing Silk with us. Silk is a new and unique lubricant. Shayna, tell us a little bit about this vaginal thing that happens, or this other kind of thing, genital thing that happens, these irritations and this falseness. What can people do with Silk?
Well, the beauty of Silk is it does mimic your own vaginal secretions. So you can put the Silk on and he'll never know the difference. And that's the beauty. It is almost similar to you. And what Silk does, made with kiwi vine extract, very similar to aloe vera, but different. And what it does is it helps balance the pH of the vagina. So if your vagina is a little bit too acidy, it will bring it more into being more alkaline. If it's too alkaline, it'll add a bit of acid because you need that to kill off bacteria. So it's an antifungal, antibacterial, and a product that will help you balance your own pH.
It sounds terrific. People, you can get this product by going to Silk, SYLKUSA.com. That's SilkUSA.com. Well, we're back with Tantra Cafe. This is Laurie Handler, your host. And I wanted to mention to you that you can find out more about the International School of Temple Arts. This international school is developing not only conferences and trainings worldwide, but a consortium of practitioners and educators who cooperate and benefit from expanding the network across continents, across cultures, across mores, and across history. If you're a sex educator or interested in this and would like to find out more about Temple Arts, please go to www.schooloftemplearts.com. That's schooloftemplearts.com. I also want to remind you that today's show is brought to you by Silk, a personal lubricant that enhances your pH on the inside. So Leela and I are talking about this whole transition that she's had. So here you are. It's today. You were in Ayurveda. You were trying to heal yourself. You were hoping there was a solution. And we kind of roll it towards, well, what solution did you find, and then how did you branch out into becoming a sex educator? Because it's an amazing transition.
Yeah. It's been quite a path. It's been quite a great ride, actually. Dr. Ladd had recommended that there's a type of, ghee is something that we think of as clarified butter, that in a lot of Ayurvedic medicine, it actually is used medicinally, sure, and often herbs are added to it. So there's a type of herb called shatavari, which is really meant to support a woman's reproductive system. And so Dr. Ladd made a form of ghee that has shatavari incorporated into it, infused into it. And so he recommended that I place that on a tampon and put it in at night, and that would allow the shatavari ghee to really work with the actual tissue in a very direct way. And I'd stopped wearing tampons in my 20s because I tried, but it was just like way too painful. So he said, okay, well, try a little piece of cheesecloth. And I'll never forget, it took me 5 minutes to get that little piece of cheesecloth with the ghee on it inside myself. And I thought, okay, well, it really felt like sandpaper against raw skin. And I thought, okay, well, I think I can sleep with this inside me. And so I did. I went to bed that night and I slept through the night. And then it actually took longer for me to get it out. It was even more painful to get it out. And when I finally got this little piece of cheesecloth out, I'd actually bled from this little piece of cheesecloth. Wow. The first time I'd actually seen blood coming out of me in, you know, many years because of my hysterectomy. So, that was really how bad it was. So I just kept working with the ghee and tampon until I could get to a tampon, and then I worked my way up to 3 tampons. It took me a year. It was a very diligent practice where, you know, it was a lot of, forgiveness and a lot of, you know, just loving myself and wanting to hold space for myself in the process and to know it was possible. And
did you have any support people? Were there any people around who knew besides this doctor, mm-hmm. or were there any people around who were going through similar things?
I had some friends that I shared. I didn't really share. No. I mean, no. I really didn't seek a support system.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure it was there if I had looked for it, but I was pretty much doing my own thing and figuring out, just finding it myself, you know, finding for myself, well, you know, how can I, you know, and really a direct conversation with my own body to figure out what it needed.
That's so tantric.
Yeah.
It really is. It's so tantric to ask your body for the answer, mm-hmm. and have your body give it to you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very true. Well, it turned out, as I reflect back now, I look back, there were so many tantric influences that I really wasn't aware of at the time. It's really remarkable. It's been very guided, very, very guided. So I went from all, you know, I got myself up to, you know, 3, because I was really, by sleeping with them in at night, it allowed my body to relax. Part of it was like this, you know, contraction of like, oh, something's coming in, let me contract.
Right.
And so by working with the tampons inside me and sleeping with them, it allowed my body to relax with something inside so that the muscles started to be more open.
So good.
And more aware.
This is such a good tip for people.
Absolutely.
Because there are so many people who need something like this to work with, something like they can sleep with a wand in them,
mm-hmm.
a lucite wand or something.
Well, actually, I believe in crystal wands. And
crystal
so
wands.
I went, once I was done with the ghee process, I switched to crystal wands. And so rose quartz, I've used different ones for different, because they, you know, they all carry different energies. Rose quartz, I think, because rose quartz really, you know, it's a very heart-centered, loving energy that it embodies. That really felt like the right thing for me as the next step. And so I worked with crystal wands inside me, and I was really working my way up to a point where, okay, now I can, you know, I'm ready to have a human inside me and to take that step. And so, I call it the Tantra Tour of the U.S. I still had, half of my stuff in storage in Baltimore, and I'd moved it, you know, I was in California for a year, and then I found a new place to live that was going to allow me to have all my things. And so, a friend that was supposed to help me couldn't at the last minute. And so another friend said, oh, well, this guy, you know, he's getting ready to come to Ojai, and you met him last summer very briefly. I bet you he'd do the trip with you. And he was a sexual healer who had not been working for many years in that field because he had gotten married and blah, blah, you know, the whole story with the wife not really appreciating the work and all that. And so he was just coming back into the work. And so when I arranged to do this trip and have him help me drive the truck, I said, well, you know, I'm not really attached to what route we take because I've driven cross country a few times. So he planned a reunion tour for himself across the country where he could reconnect with all of his buddies in the Tantra community. So I call it the Tantra Tour of the U.S. because, you know, that was where I learned all these things as I was bringing the rest of my stuff from Baltimore to be with me out in California and really close the door.
What serendipity.
To Baltimore. It was amazing. So we went to Asheville, North Carolina, and I learned all about drum circles and sound healing, and that was an amazing experience. And then we went to Austin, Texas, and I learned about ecstatic dance and raw food. And then we went to Sedona, and I met Baba Dez, because that was one of the stops, was the Sedona Temple.
Oh, great. And Baba Dez, you know, has been a guest on the show a few times.
And so I knew that when I was ready for that next step of actually working with a human being, that I was going to come see Dez. And so that ended up being a couple months later, and I actually had a session with Dez and Maya together. It was when they were working together. And I had a session with both of them together that lasted about 3 hours. And I came out of that session knowing that this was work I was meant to do.
So they
profoundly shifted.
So a man and a woman, tell us a little bit about the session. So you're a woman. Tell us what you can tell us on radio. So
well,
you're a woman, as a man and a woman, their highest intention is for you to heal sexually. So I got that, I got just by looking at your face that it was a turn on a lot, and you probably don't want to talk about that.
Well, it was a cool session. It was really good. It was, well, I, you know, I didn't really mention that before I was married to my husband, I was in an 8-year relationship with a woman.
Okay.
That ended in her suicide. And so I had not been with a woman. You know, I'd always identified as being bisexual as a teenager. You know, I was very aware of my pretty even appeal and like of men and women. And so after she died, I had not been with another woman since. And so when I saw that Des offered sessions with Maya, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, it's like the like kill the, you know, was it kill a bird with two? I don't know, what is that expression? Horrible expression. It's all about killing animals.
So yeah, killing a bird with two stones.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, well, I'll just knock it all out at once. I'll have a session with both of them, and I'll deal with all the stuff around, you know, like my resistance to being with women, and I'll deal with my stuff around, you know,
the pain anticipated by being with a man.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I mean, it's important that that people get a sense, though, of what a session like this is like. And your sessions might be really different. You know, the sessions that you offer people, but to know something about what they could expect if they really go for it and they really want to be healed. Like, it's like you said in the last segment that your life was at stake. Mm-hmm. So you'd do anything. So.
Well, you know, I really feel like one of the things that's, really been profoundly helpful to me and where I talk about the idea of sexual wholeness to erotic freedom is really being able to very consciously ask for what we want and create boundaries for ourselves and to speak them. So to be in a session where it's all about, I pay them to be there and it's up to me to now share why I'm there and what it is I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And what are my intentions and what are my desires and what are my fears, and to really speak it and to be willing to have that voice. And I think that that's one of the things that, you know, in a session with any person in this field, that's one of the really beautiful things that one can gain from it, is that ability to really show up and speak for yourself and to empower yourself to have a voice to express what your needs, desires are, whether they get fulfilled or not. You know, just depending on who you're with and what the energy and the connection between the people are and what their personal preferences about how they work in their field. You know, just because you have a desire doesn't mean it's going to get fulfilled. But to have someone hold space for you to express that desire and not shame you or have you be wrong
for it. That's so important.
It's very healing.
The whole removal of shame. Well, I know that Baba Des says that his mission in life is to remove shame from people, to take the shame away. So to not shame you, so can't stress that enough.
Yeah, so it was a very powerful session, and that's probably all I really want to say about that session.
Okay.
And when I came out of it, I thought, wow, you know, I've been working my whole life on this, and I already see myself as a healer and doing healing work. I've been working, you know, with body work and essential oils and aromatherapy and tarot cards and all these different things, and my whole focus in for the last 30 years has been my sexual health. And I just had the most profound shift in the 3 hours that I've had in 30 years. There's something here, and I've got to figure out what that is. So luckily, you know, Des has these awesome conferences that he offers. And so the very next one he was having was the one in Atlanta in the fall. And so I decided I was going to start going to conferences and meeting people and networking and finding out just, you know, how did people earn a living in this field and what did that look like and what were the possibilities so I could figure out what my role would be and how that would work. And the really interesting thing is that, you know, there's an organization called ASEP, the Association of Sexual Energy Professionals. And the very first ASEP conference was happening a month after the Atlanta conference here in Phoenix, as a matter of fact. All of the ASEP conferences have been here in Phoenix. And so I met a lot of people at the Atlanta conference, and a lot of them, including the gentleman I'd gone cross country with, he was presenting at the ASEP conference. And I looked and I realized it was this brand new nonprofit that was forming. And I thought, I wonder if they have a treasurer. Because I thought, here's a way.
You are in finance.
Right. Because I thought, I'm looking for how can I, you know, fit into this world and what, you know, what can I do? And that was a very natural, easy fit right away. So I became the initial treasurer, the founding treasurer of ASEP.
That's such a great.
And helped get that organization off the ground.
That's so great. That's so great. Well, we're going to take a break here for a moment. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm with Leela Sullivan today. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. And we'll be right back. I, Laurie Handlers, the host of this show, personally invite you to come with me on a tantric tour of the heart of India. on November 21st to December 3rd, 2010. You'll see the Taj Mahal, of course, and visit the fabulous Fatehpur Sikri, home of the great Mughal King Akbar. You'll experience the sacred lake in Pushkar, and then you'll tour the pink city of Jaipur. Then, at dawn from a boat on the Ganges in Varanasi, you'll see exquisite Hindu prayer rituals. Then you'll tour Sarnath, where the Buddha gave his first speech after attaining enlightenment. And finally, you'll get to explore the exotic Kamasutra temples in Khajuraho. All throughout the tour, you'll learn tantric techniques and principles, and I promise you'll feel a tremendous sense of well-being as we delve into these simple yet potent tantric tools. Please note, no previous experience of tantra or yoga is necessary to come on this tour with me. I invite you to join me in this unique experience touring the incredible, incredible country of India. I must warn you, this is not your typical tour, and you are not the typical tourist.
For more information about this exciting tantric tour of the heart of India, contact Lori at butterflyworkshops.com or write to her at info@butterflyworkshops.com.
Many times on Tantra Cafe, you've heard my guests and me discuss emotional release techniques. Now, you can do emotional release work in the privacy of your own home. In my CD, Shamanic Release in Lati Han, I create a very, very safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work I'm known for in my Tantra courses. First, I set you up with the proper positioning and breathing, and then I guide you through emotional states to the beat of tribal African rhythms. Try this CD as an easy way to do your personal clearing work on a regular basis and watch your relationships walk free from emotional baggage. You can order my CD at butterflyworkshops.com for only $20. I believe you're worth it. I hope you do. Go to butterflyworkshops.com and get your copy now. And walk free from emotional baggage.
You're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I'm back today with Leela Sullivan. And she's telling us about how she went from a corporate life to being a sexual educator, being somebody who helps people really get their sexual wholeness. And Lila's just been sharing with us how she got her wholeness. I just want to let you know that you can write to me at laurie@tantracafe.com if you have more questions for Leela, or if you have questions about any of my guests. Please write to me at any time, or you can write to me on Twitter or Facebook, or you can just find me as Laurie Handlers. So Leela, this, we're getting somewhere with your healing, and I can see how you've dedicated your life to this.
Yes, I have.
So when you offer to men and women or couples their possibility of a sexual healing, like what are some of the kinds of things people come to you with, different or distinct from what you were coming with?
I've had women come that are having challenges with being orgasmic or are in a similar situation in terms of experiencing a lot of pain and wanting to work through that. I also work with a lot of men with premature ejaculation, erectile dysfunction, people who are just wanting to experience a higher level of sexuality, looking at the possibility of energetic sex and being multi-orgasmic as a man or multi-orgasmic as a woman and what that can be. And working with couples around communicating, or how to work with each other in a way, or not work with each other.
It is like work sometimes. Working with each other or communicating with each other without the shame. Mm-hmm. Listen, I have a friend who said he was with somebody, most recently his relationship was like 6.5 years. And he said he has this fantasy about being tied up and hung upside down and receiving oral sex. And he said he could just never tell her that. He just would never in a million, he could tell me that. He could tell any friends that a couple of beers later he would tell, but he said he could just never see himself just coming clean and saying that which, a fantasy which kind of rules him in a certain way that he could never get that because he could never say that to his beloved. Mm-hmm. So is that the kind of...
Well, that's where I think, to me, you know, to really inspire people to empower themselves to be authentic and transparent about who they are and what they want. And to really just break through these barriers of shame. And, I had one of the people that mentored me had used to always say, you know, sometimes just speaking the desire is enough. And being seen and having that, you know, being witnessed for having a desire, really the desire can sometimes just go away. It was more because this idea that it couldn't be spoken and it couldn't be had was what gave it all the energy, and that once that it was spoken. And I used to think, really? I mean, that just didn't make any sense to me. And then I experienced it. I experienced where it really, you know, that's part of, we get so caught up in this energy of not speaking it, and that we get so wrapped up in it that, you know, a lot of times, it's not that big a deal once the big deal is speaking it.
Yeah.
It's really having the power, the, you know, the voice to speak our truth, which is, you know, this country's all about.
It's all about, but it doesn't mean anything. People are so withholding. And they actually punish people by not, I mean, it's an important lesson that if I'm not speaking my truth in relationship with you, then there's something between us. But it's over here with me and you don't even know.
Right.
So I'm going to withhold and I start resenting myself. I start resenting you. I start fantasizing about why I can't tell you what's wrong with you that I can't tell you. When in fact it's my choice or my decision to withhold out of shame or out of guilt or out of, I don't want to hurt your feelings or.
There's lots of reasons. But I've always been one to think, well, if I don't really understand your truth and where you're coming from, how can I possibly, like, what chance is there? I mean, like, how can it be a win-win situation if I don't even know, like, what the hand, like, if we're playing, with a deck of cards, like, if I don't even know what the hand is, like, how can I possibly work with it in a successful way, you know? So that's where people find me, it's probably a little off-putting for some people, but I tend to be very frank. And I'll speak my truth because I don't really know what else to do. You know, because anything else isn't going to help the situation. And, you know, at least if it's my truth, I feel like there's half a shot of it working out.
Exactly. I'm totally in alignment with you. I think that's why we get along.
That is why we get along so well. Now we're neighbors. It's really cool.
so this is so important. And I, now can you, it's funny to kind of put this spin on it for me, but do you actually get it across to your clients that this is really also a matter of their life? Like it could be their life and death. Like it's like the quality of life.
Hmm.
If they're not living, they're dying in a certain way. If they're not full out living, they're dying in a certain way. Is that, do you ever, I mean, do you go for it like that?
No, that's not my approach. Okay. You know, I'm more of this like, I have this very playful way of wanting to be a catalyst for empowering them. So I tend to be very focused on the positive and very focused on what's possible. And not by saying, if you don't do this, that, you know, like, it could mean that. I just focus on, like, wow, wouldn't you want this? you know, because, I mean, when I look at, you know, what my life was 6-7 years ago and what it is now, I mean, it's pure magic. I have this amazing, you know, and I have so many friends that, you know, that they say that they live vicariously through my life because the stories I tell, my latest adventures, I've always had different adventures going. I really ought to have a blog going, but I haven't, I haven't really, worked on that.
Well, soon.
It is coming.
Well, I understand that you have a book coming out one of these days.
One of these days.
It's about the father and daughter relationship.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Well, yes, it is. You know, one of the things that that is often a point of conversation in the tantra community and in the sexual healing world is the breakdown of the relationship between men and women, or the masculine and feminine. And to me, you know, that first crucial relationship is, you know, a daughter and her father, or a mother and her son in terms of the masculine and feminine. So I'm doing a lot of research right now. Actually, there's a questionnaire on my website that people can fill out as a father or as a daughter. To really look at their relationship and look at how it functions and how it functions specifically related to intimacy. You know, so many girls find that, you know, their daddy's little girl and they sit in his lap and it's all very affectionate and wonderful
until
she goes through puberty. And then it's right. like, ah, you know, and then they, you know, and then it, that plays out in many different ways. And some not so pretty. And some men have really, know how to handle that. And so what I'm looking for is, you know, a number of case studies so that I can really provide a full spectrum of the possibilities of how it works and doesn't work. And sadly, I think that for the most part, it doesn't work. And then really develop, well, how can we do it differently? How can we really shift it so that, and this is a part of actually, you know, Des has done some of this work.
Well, wait, before we go to Des, we have to, what's your website so people can fill out this questionnaire?
My website is my name. It's Leela Sullivan, LeelaSullivan.com.
So go to LeelaSullivan.com if you're a daughter listening to this program today or a father listening to this program today and fill out this questionnaire to help Leela get this book off the ground because you know what? The father-daughter connection in my life has been the strongest. In her life has been the strongest and there's so many people out there that this is so critical. Not a lot has been, researched about it. Freud really focused on mothers and sons and it's time the daughters really got their two cents in.
Oh, well, and the fathers. You know, how I came to this was through my own healing process. And part of what I think is that, you know, fathers really haven't been given the tools and they've been given a bad rap. I mean, how they're represented on television is they're either predators or they're idiots. And that's just so completely unfair to men. Right. I mean, I think the biggest gift I've received in this work is coming to really love men and see the amazing beings that they are. And I think that more than anything is what men receive from me is that they're seen for their beauty and not through these filters of they're this or they're that and there's something wrong.
It's like, or you hit them, you want to castrate them and then you feel that.
Right. Right. I just want to, you know, to really see them for the beautiful soul that resides in that being and to help it help that part of them really come out and be a more embodied part of their life.
Well, this is great. I thank you so much. It's a good point of departure. I'm happy there's you in my world and I'm happy there's you in everyone else's world.
Thanks, Leela.
So you can get in touch with Leela Sullivan at LeelaSullivan.com. That's LeelaSullivan, LeelaSullivan.com. She's based in Phoenix, but she does travel around. You can go to her website to find out where she's going to be next. I would certainly love it if you went to my website, butterflyworkshops.com, and check out what's happening on my new website. I'm just about to release a whole bunch of new short videos. So there'll be a video library there that you can download. And, of course, you can write to me at laurie@tantracafe.com. Or I'd love for you to go actually to webtalkradio.net and look at my Laurie's Recommended list. So I have a lot of really good practitioners there, books, products, services that can enhance your tantric lifestyle. My guest on my next show is going to be talking about tantra and hormones, like why it's so critical once you've reached 35 years on the planet to start replenishing your hormones. Both, I know people think it's for women only, but this is hormones for men too. People need to replenish their hormones because people are living longer and longer lives and having your hormones out makes you very crazy. So please listen in next time to Tantra Cafe about hormones. Now I'm just saying goodbye to you. Thank you so much for listening in. Thank you to my new sponsor, Silk, and namaste from Tantra Cafe.